You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. I never meant cares about
they
you.
Ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Get to
who
people.
You gonna turn to next?
Tell
get
me. With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, need do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it, but if it wasn't, and you couldn't get it done, and you just had to because the weather was so bad. And believe me, in parts of this country, the weather was bad. Either in the southeast here was extremely hot and continuously hot, or in the Midwest and the east where there was flooding. And then, of course, the fires in the west. I mean, you know, whoa. But if it had to be done, you got it done. I know you. I know how you is. That's why we love you. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. When you go to the webpage, look for other programming, click on that, and you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that. We're going to get some updated programming on there real soon. I assure you. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, my program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. All times are going to give are Eastern times. Following my program on Monday and Wednesday is the Black People Matrix. So that's today and Wednesday. The Black People Matrix from 1 to 3. With Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix with Franklin Jones. This evening, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming from Philadelphia from 6 to 8. And then from 8 to 9, Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. Following Let's Buy Black 365 is Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, from 8 to 10. And then on Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters. It is time for an awakening. Time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 to 8. Excuse me, from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. From 10 a.m. to 12 noon, Saturday Sports Talk. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., no, it's not me. It is Sister POC with her program, Revive. The Sunday edition of Revive, Proof of Consciousness. And then Sunday evening, once again, is Time for an Awakening. 7 p.m. on Sundays, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern
It's the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. Warren Ballantyne Show Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. That's the number you can call on for this program when you can give your African perspective. And I sure like to hear your African perspective, for sure. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. It is the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. But if you are in the Atlanta area near the Greenbrier Mall, you can buy directly from their kiosks that they have at the Greenbrier Mall. They have the laundry detergent. They have soaps. They have salves. They have pain relief for your aching muscles and deodorants. They have so much. Batteries, toothbrushes. We Buy Black that are produced by us. WeBuyBlack.com. Bomani Tayemba. Brother Bomani Tayemba is AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Go online to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. He has a trip coming up November 22nd to December 2nd, going to South Africa, Johannesburg, and Cape Town. You can get contact him at 404-931-9429, 404-931-9429. But he also has a trip at later part of December, December 24th to January 4th, 2020, going to Ghana, once again to Ghana, West Africa. So check out Brother Bomani Tayemba. If you want to see photos of previous trips, particularly he had a trip in May, so you can see that. Go to facebook.com/Bomani, B-O-M-A-N-I. If you want to see videos of the previous trips, go to youtube.com/Bomani 2007. Shrine of the Black Madonna had a great time, and Brother Olutunji and all the brothers and sisters at the Shrine of the Black Madonna, outstanding job of putting on the Marcus Garvey Day. It's a beautiful day right there on the outside near Joseph Lowery Boulevard there in Atlanta. The Shrine of the Black Madonna was beautiful. I really appreciate it. Of course, the shrine has everything. They got furniture. They got clothing. They got the red, black, and green shoes, which my shoes came, the new ones. They're very comfortable. They stretch, and they are the Khalid Muhammad's. That's right, brothers and sisters. Khalid Muhammad. Yes, they're the new ones. There's another one, too, they got out, too. But check that out. So, but the hours of the Shrine of the Black Madonna are Wednesday through Saturday from 12 to 7, and then Sunday from 1 to 3. They also have a African Holocaust Museum. They're located in the West End, and the number to call is 404-549-8676. 404-549-8676. They also have a history class every Sunday from 1:30 until 3:30. Didn't have it this Saturday because we had the Marcus Garvey Day, but a lot of history was given that day beautifully. Beautiful job by all those involved. If you can't check out the history class every Saturday from 1:30 to 3:30, then you can get that information because they have a multimedia library. Brothers and sisters, it is the most extensive cultural library of its kind with over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, and over 2,000 books. It is 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment, and you can get that at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Another venture in the Greenbrier Mall is the Medu Bookstore. The Medu Bookstore located in the Greenbrier Mall right near the kiosk of We Buy Black. And the Medu Bookstore phone number is 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and on Sunday from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. Brother Jamu. Gazende Ajamu at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore located in Lithonia. That's right, my good brother. He's having an event next month. He's having an event next month at the Black Dot Cultural Center. It is a free event. Food, live music, poetry, speakers, art. The Cultural Art Festival, Saturday, September 28th. It's going to be a street festival. Immerse yourself in many forms of art and culture in the Granite City of Lithonia. So I'll be promoting that from 12 to 8. And I'll get Brother Gazimde Ajamu on the line, and we'll talk about all the great things that are going to be happening. But his bookstore is located 6984 Main Street, and of course, that will be the place where everything's happening. And if you want to give the brother a call, it's at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. The Black Dot, brothers and sisters, there is light in the Black Dot, no doubt about it. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Not just cooperative economics, family-centered economics, where we trust one another, believe in one another, to pull our monies together to do what's right for us and our people. Cooperative. That is in the spirit of Marcus Garvey. I had the opportunity to say some words on behalf of Us Lifting Us and ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations. And of course, there's nothing that is nothing at all that is in tune with Marcus Garvey than cooperative economics. Pulling our money together, not one individual or some one family getting rich. No, we all benefit. Doing the most good for the most amount of people. Doing the most good for the most amount of people. Us Lifting Us. We pulled our money together and we created Cafe Ulu. Cafe Ulu, located in Atlanta, 2036 Sylvan Road, near Sylvan Plaza, right off of Georgia Highway 166 and 7585, Interstate 7585, right off. Believe me, it's right there. Easy to get to. Us Lifting Us, open Tuesday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we have coffee. In honor of Marcus Garvey, we even had the Jamaican Green Mountain coffee. Very good, very smooth, Jamaican Green Mountain coffee. But we have Cameroon. Our main staples are Cameroon, Kenya, Tanzania, and Ethiopian. But you also have other coffees from other places around the world. Panama, Brazil, Nicaragua, Papua New Guinea. But we also have loose teas that are provided by us. Brother has a business here in Atlanta with loose teas, delicious hibiscus ginger tea. Very good. All of those things. And those things can be purchased. If you're not here in Atlanta, you can just go to cafeulu.com. Go to cafeulu.com and check out the products that we have and order some. But even deeper, go to usliftingus.com and become a member. Another vitality drink we have at Cafe Ulu is Ambrosia, Brother Novak Young. Ambrosia, delicious alkaline water, ginger, turmeric, organic cane sugar, and chlorophyll, as well as hibiscus, cinnamon, aloe vera, cayenne, and spirulina. Ah, oh, delicious, delicious products. Akabin Institute, once again, brothers and sisters, I will constantly promote Akabin Institute for the great work that Baba Baruti and his lovely wife, Yah Baruti, are doing for our community, raising up young warriors. Akabin Institute, make check or money or out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. Or you can do PayPal and Cash App, utilizing YAH, the dollar sign, YAH, YAAM, Baruti, BARUTI. Also, too, the third annual African Warrior Men's Day celebration. The title, Manhood, Warriorhood, and Character. Tuesday, September 10th, from 7 to 10 at Akabin Institute for the Brothers. For the brothers only. the Ochabin Institute. I will definitely be there. And it's a presentation with question and answers and so forth. And so definitely be there. Sister Sanjay Aiti, I talked to Brother Kwaku, the brother who deals with the Haiti. Brother Kwaku at the, so many Kwakus, of course, there's, you know. But he deals with Haiti. He goes back and forth. And he knows Sister Gabby. He knows Sister Gabby and the work that she is doing in the Northeast. He's in the South. So he's a distance away, but they are doing work in Haiti. And it's, of course, Sister Gabby, a real, Gabrielle, real, her organization is sonjay-haiti.org. sonjay-aiti.org. Check it out. Black Talk Radio Project. The Black Talk Radio Media Project, they need funds, brothers and sisters. It's important to support them. And that's the blacktalkradionetwork.com. Go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. You don't even have to go nowhere else. Once you get on that page, scroll down, look to your right, and there it is. But there is a spot for it you can click on to get more details about the Black Talk Radio Network Project 2019 Media Fund. And so support that. I haven't talked to my good brother. I'm going to give him a call, see if I can get him on, Brother Jabari Jamani, and see how the caravan went. See how the caravan went. I'm anxious, and so I'm quite sure you probably are too. And it's something that I think that would be cool if other cities, if they have. See, the thing about the caravan in L.A., those were five organizations that have a building. They house a building, you know, they're housed in a building, and they utilize that as a meeting place for the caravan where people come to see the building. Because they may not have, you know, known or been there. And because of that, they get a chance to talk with people and listen to music and eat food and so forth. And then after a certain amount of time, then jump on the bus and go to another venue, another building where African people are doing great things. So we'll talk to Brother Jabari Jamani and get the lowdown on how things went, and hopefully it'll be an annual thing. And maybe if you are in the L.A. area around, I guess they'll probably do it around that time of Marcus Garvey's birthday, which is cool to do, you know, and maybe you can participate in that as well. The Inye Sasim of daily revolutionary thought. Yesterday, August 18th, if the men are not slain, the women are not carried off. An Ashanti proverb. Asafo, which is, of course, the Water Development Asafo. Asafo are the first line of defense against the enemies of our people. This is in our historical tradition. In every compound, village, town, city, territory, nation, the perimeter was under the watch of the men who were necessarily more mobile. They patrolled the nation's boundaries, not only because of greater upper body strength or muscle mass, but also because they were not physically or spiritually designed to birth, nurse, rear, and nurture the children as women are. Women are our most valuable, our most precious natural resources. Let me say that again. Women, African women, are our most valuable, most precious natural resource. Because without them, there are no children. And then we have no balance. Therefore, they must be protected at all cost. Yet our women were a no less formidable defense. That's right, the sisters, they can handle it. Their communal responsibilities placed them in the position to protect the interior or the core of our community. This division of defense, of defensive labor, has no sexist component or basis. It was a function of the naturally different talents of men and women. They were lateral, not vertical. not men up top and women. No, they're lateral. It's something that we all have a responsibility. Such divisions follow a concentric circles model. Accordingly, the primary role of African men is to be warriors and scholars who seek to map out, define, and heal the nation's perimeter. We are charged with the life's mission of consistently and vigilantly standing as a united, although often solidarity, guard roaming the edge of our community, repelling or eliminating intruders. And it should be a pride, selfless, and productive role that one enters easily and willingly. Affirm, I am an ever vigilant guard. I am an ever vigilant guard. August 19th. I claim that our incarcerations occur not because of criminality or accidents of injustice, but due to the structural design of this nation, Sister Sharshi McIntyre. Our confinement and isolation has always been an integral part of the process of humiliating us and annihilating us. Annihilating us. Those that do not want to kill, those they do not want to kill, they control through fear and contained behind spirit-breaking, constricting walls. Incarceration remains one of their most effective methods of physically, emotionally, and spiritually tearing African men and women away from each other and their families. To this point, the percentage of all African males in society who are behind bars has always been proportionally more than those of Europeans. Moreover, even though historically there have been more European males behind bars, in 1991, African Americans began to outnumber them, with the difference progressively increasing since. From a percentage standpoint, will always be a higher percentage incarcerated than Caucasians. By design. Our removal from society and eventually existence is the Caucasian extremist's goal. Of course, it makes no sense to talk about African men without speaking about African women. The war is against all Africans. I repeat, the war is against all Africans. I know, in a sense, that they are African women who are in a better position, better educated, especially here in Atlanta, better employed. But the bottom line is all the divisions are designed to fragment us and to eventually eliminate us. I repeat, to eliminate us. Because of the propaganda of the innocence of European females, it is no wonder that the number of incarcerated African women has historically outnumbered them. Strangely, as of 1985, African women no longer outnumber European women. But change is coming because between 1985 and 1995, the incarceration rate of African women increased by almost 200% as compared to only 130% increase of the brothers. There were many sisters who were incarcerated, if you follow that, because of the drugs and, of course, money. They wanted to do, they wanted to make a quick buck. And, of course, they were caught and they were imprisoned. I fathom the method behind the madness of our systematic incarceration. I fathom the method of madness. Behind the madness of our systematic incarceration. The Inye say so. Daily African revolutionary thought. The Inye say so. Let me once again read this from Dr. Kwame Nkrumah. I believe strongly and sincerely that with deep rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture united under one federal government will emerge not as just another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but has a great power whose greatness is indestructible, because it is built not on fear, envy, and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, friendship, and dedicated to the good of all mankind. Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, The Speech of Freedom in 1961. If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we suffered heretofore. That's before he was exiled and killed and died. Kwame Nkrumah. He says it right there. This is our quest. This is what we should do. Had a great time this past Saturday at the Marcus Garvey Day. You know, I know that, and you know, and believe me, I probably would venture to say that the amount of time that I was there, maybe 100, 150 people came in and out. Had some good vendors, good information. You know, I wore my Make Africa Home Again hat. In fact, there was a brother selling hats. He had Black Power. He had a number of things on the hats, you know. Good stuff, you know. I told him, I said, man, you need, in fact, I won one of the hats because I answered a question, a Marcus Garvey question, you know. And I said, you need to make this hat. You need to make this hat. You know, I had a red hat on, a black T-shirt, and some green shorts, red, black, and green. I had my Khaled Muhammad song, which are very comfortable. They stretch. I was ready. But brothers and sisters, if you see me and you know me, I always got the red, black, and green. The African pin of red, black, and green. It was a business that we started. Me, a brother named Tejumala Oloboni, and Sister Carol Malone. She's an ancestor. Rest her soul. She died many years ago. Back in 1985. I have that pin on. If you see me and you know me, I'll have that pin on somewhere close to my heart since 1985. In fact, I got some pins in my basement that I need to find because they were when I moved from where I was living here in Atlanta to where I'm living now, you know, I had them in bins. And so, you know, and because I've seen lapel pins, but I haven't seen any lapel pins is nice. I'm just being real. And they were small enough too. They weren't big. It was small enough. Nice lapel pins. I did them. In fact, we had a little business called Nation Time Products. Nation Time Products. We had T-shirts. We did business just like what many companies do today for organizations. You know, we had the idea. We just didn't expand on it. Just didn't have it grow to where it could have been. What some of these companies are today that sell promotional products, because we did pins for the Black Skiers, the Black Social Workers, a number of organizations, the firefighters, we did their pins, and other keychains. We did keychains. I mean, we did a lot for organizations. In fact, when I was in Baltimore last year, saw brother Arnie, who was the president of Baltimore Blazers, the Vulcan Blazers of Baltimore, back at that time in the 80s. And he had a picture of me jamming at the Vulcan Blazers Hall. And what was disturbing to me is that, to me, any time our organization of American African firefighters, if there is a business or anything that the local chapter is doing, even though we were just outside of Baltimore, didn't make no damn difference. We should have had something at the Vulcan Blazers Hall to support them. Now, that Friday night when I went there, they had a little jam session going on. Not really. They had a dance. It was a bopping session. In fact, it ended early because everybody was out there dancing. It ended about 10 o'clock. I was like, wow, okay. You know, maybe they've been there since, you know, cocktail hour, 6 o'clock, 7, whatever. But, yeah. And so, but that was real good to see Brother Arnie. And he said, yeah. He looked at me, looked at him, and said, yeah, you remember me? He said, yeah, I do. In fact, hold on, I got something for you. And not only had that picture, he had a picture when I was, when I became the sergeant of arms of the organization and being sworn in at the conference that we had. Being sworn in when I was at the, see, my first time to Baltimore was in 1982, my first time in Baltimore. At the executive council meeting. I mean, man, a lot going on that at that time. Man, it was beautiful. Beautiful. So to me, if you're a firefighter and you're in the Baltimore area, you should check that out. Vulcan Blazers Hall on Druid Hill and Reisterstown Road. Yep. But so once again, getting back to the Marcus Garvey Day here in Atlanta. And I hope that the Marcus Garvey, I saw some pictures of Marcus Garvey Day in Milwaukee at the African-American Women's Center. Vendors and so forth having a good time. You know, it is these days of celebration that we need to, more importantly, how should I put this? Because I think just to celebrate and talk about it and then we all go home and then that's it. You know, that was a good day. We honored Marcus Garvey, we talked about, but yet our condition is still the same. We're still in the same situation that we were last year, last decade, last millennial, for hundreds of years. We're in the same situation. And see, I don't measure anything by how we have advanced in Caucasian society. I'm sorry. Not anymore. Oh, of course, back in the day, we all did. Oh, look, we got the first this. And in fact, what's ironic, we're still today in 2019 still talking about first. It's crazy. I don't measure anything. My whole attitude is independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. And maybe you need a refresher. Maybe you need a refresher on what sovereignty means for African people. Then maybe I'll give you that. Because it needs to be clear to us what we should strive for. We should not continue to try to get a Negro or two in a better position, a more comfortable position in the Europeans' system. Because it does not benefit us collectively. If somebody, even when the brother, now I granted, I was happy that he did what he did when he, being a billionaire because of investments, not because of athletics, not because of investments. And that's the game. And that's great for him. And it was great for those Morehouse students of 2019 graduating class back in May.
that this man said, I'm going to do something special. I'm going to listen. If you understand how money is in this system, $1 billion, and there are people who are multi-billionaires. So much damn money. In fact, I just saw the other day online that, J.K. Rowling, the Caucasian woman from Britain who was the Harry Potter franchise, all the books that she has written that have been made into movies that sold a lot, she gave a lot away that she is out of, I don't know if it's Forbes or whoever hell has the money rankings, that she dropped out of the billionaires club because she gave so much money away. All them sons of bitches should do it. This world is so out of whack, it's ridiculous. That's why I keep saying for us, I know we have been trained. We have been trained to love the Caucasian, to love what he has, to love anything about them. I know. And that training is ongoing. It is 24/7, 365. It is in everything you see, everything you read, everything. It's in your religion. It's in social government. It's in education, everything. Just as Francis Crisp Wellsing stated, European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege is in everything they do, all areas of people activity. Neely Fuller said it best, and that's a problem because we do not understand. And if you don't understand European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, then everything else you think you understand will only confuse you. And we are so damn confused that we are confused in our confusion, and that's how confused we are. That's why we need to be sovereign. There is no sharing with Caucasians. They don't share worth a damn. They don't share. They take. They take. They're thieves. We need sovereignty. The successful outcome of any nationalist movement is sovereignty for the people. Being sovereign means having absolute control over the life of the nation. Right now, as always, for African people, sovereignty is measured by how intelligently, independently, and powerfully we control our resources, control our story, our culture, time, space, and our destiny. It is to have the power within the nation to control our lives, to control them in our best interests, regardless of opposition from outside. Accordingly, being sovereign has to mean that there is no one beyond us who makes any decision about how we rule ourselves, how we live, what we believe, how we deal with enemies, whether those enemies are outside of us or those traitors inside of us, and how we visualize our future and communicate and express that vision. It means that we are completely and consciously self-defining, self-determining, and self-empowered, and self-respecting. And since no nation has ever risen to power and stayed there without holding their own tradition sacred, sovereignty necessarily means that we know, respect, protect, and extend in time through every coming generation that we are has a direct reflection of our ancestors. Sovereignty is our ultimate goal. Sovereignty is our ultimate goal. And we need to understand that. We need to fight for that. Sovereignty, brothers and sisters, is something that we as African people must strive for, to be sovereign. We can't be sovereign here. We cannot be sovereign here. I know my good brother Errol Holmes, Dr. Errol Holmes, wrote his book called The Sovereign Psyche, and basically saying that in your mind,
I know in my mind I'm sovereign, but my reality, what I deal with day to day, when I go out into the world and I see our people, I have to deal with something that I have to deal with regardless of whether I'm sovereign, a Negro, a Negro, whatever. You got to deal. You in America. This is theirs, not ours. And they let you know it. This society has always, and that's why Trump is using the same kind of strategy of a divide that were used back in probably in the 1860s, you know, with Lincoln and all the other divisions over the enslavement of our people. And believe me, if you know me, I have no props for Lincoln. Not just that he did not, or he advocated us going back to, which I advocate, not the way that they did it, and surely not to Africa that was happening in the 1860s and beyond of colonization. And even though Liberia was a colony of America, the capital city of Monrovia was named after James Monroe. And to me, you know, I look at it this way. Everything that Caucasians have done, the boundaries that are that are on the political map that you see need to be redrawn. The capitals of most countries, the names of most countries. Why is it that you cannot call it Xenia instead of still people calling it South Africa? Even after Nelson Mandela and supposedly the end of apartheid. It might have been the end of apartheid, so to speak, but it sure in hell wasn't the end of Caucasian control, because they're still in control. In fact, brothers and sisters, if you control the money, they do, and you control the military, they do, then you in control. That's why in certain African countries, Caucasians have taken land and said, we're sovereign. You try that here in America. You take your butt over to Europe and claim a piece of land and say that you're sovereign in that country and see what happens. See what happens to you. So anyway, what are we going to do? That's right. I'm going to take a break in a minute, and I'm going to come back and talk about Brazil. I've talked about Brazil a number of times. I've been to Rio during Carnival. The world goes to Rio for Carnival. Rio de Janeiro dresses itself up. The military squashes any kind of activity to protect the visitors coming. They realize the amount of money that Brazil makes with the world coming to Brazil for Carnival. Rio. That the brothers and sisters in Rio live for Carnival. Once the Carnival season's over, they immediately begin to prepare for the following year with a new costume and so forth. Elaborate, beautiful costumes. I often said in talking about Carnival or Mardi Gras, whichever word you want to use, same thing. Brazil's at the top because it is spectacle. The Samba Drome was built specifically for the viewing and the parading of floats and steel bands and all kinds of merriment in terms of the carnival celebration was built specifically. And brothers and sisters, it will cost you money. When did I go? Almost 20 some years. No, not that long. About 15 years ago, I think I went to Carnival, and it was expensive getting in at that time. Imagine what it is today. The local people can't afford to go in. It's not for them. It's for all the people from around the world. I've been blessed to go to New Orleans for Mardi Gras, to Carnival in Rio, and Carnival in Trinidad. And there's one place I'm going to go eventually, maybe this February I'll go to, Mobile, Alabama, where I believe that is the oldest place that it is celebrated. But outside of Carnival, African people, which is the largest amount of Africans outside of Nigeria, there are more Africans in the country of Brazil. More Africans were taken and transported to the country of Brazil. Many of the Africans broke away from the Portuguese and went into the highlands or the interior. The Quilombos. One of the famous ones was Zimbi of Pelmidrius. Gunga Zimba. Then Zimbi of Pelmidrius. These were brothers who and sisters who established a foothold in the interior, in the mountains, and repelled the Portuguese for many, many decades. But today they have a president in Brazil who wants to eliminate the indigenous population and the African population. And we'll talk about that. Hopefully you want to get together and get some information on that and talk with us about that, and we'll have a good conversation. If you want to talk about Marcus Garvey and what you experienced wherever you were, or if you were at the shrine, you want to talk about that, anything you want to talk about, join us right here at African Perspectives at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Once again, on Black Talk Radio Network, I want you to be supportive of the number one, that's right, brothers and sisters, the number one African, American African podcast in the nation is Black Talk Radio Network. And so Brother Scotty Reed needs to be supported. I'm very happy to be on Black Talk Radio Network. Very happy to be working with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard as Time for an Awakening Media. Very happy and very proud to be a part of that family. And of course, all the other members that we have with Time for an Awakening, on Time for Awakening, which is Motherland Media, because that's how we started out, the Motherland Media Network. So we kept that, and we kept that as a family. So I'm very proud of Dr. Rogers and the program he has. Very proud of my good brother Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix. And so if you really want to talk about how messed up our minds are, you got to listen to Black People Matrix, because there is nothing more important, and Marcus Garvey said it best. They can free your body, but none but yourself can free your mind. Nobody but us can free our minds. Nobody. So once again you're listening to African Perspective here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay right here with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting, or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
We'll be right back.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other programs we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, following my program on Monday and Wednesdays, is the Black People Matrix from 1 to 3 with Brother Franklin Jones. Other programs on Monday, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8. Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. Tuesday, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. on Thursday. And if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an Awakening, brothers and sisters, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And every Monday through Friday from 10 a.m., it's the Warren Valentine Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I don't believe you can call that number for Warren Valentine's program because I believe it is taped. So, but you can listen. That is rebroadcasted every taped earlier in that day on something and then rebroadcasting Monday through Friday on Time for an Awakening Media. As I was speaking about Brazil and one thing about me, wherever I've gone, I always wanted to see where we were, how we were doing, us African people, how we're living, our conditions. It's just like Marcus Garvey. Although Marcus Garvey never set foot on African soil, but you cannot find a more staunch Pan-Africanist, a man who amassed over 3 million people in the membership of the Universal Negro Improvement Association and African Communities League. Started many businesses, all the great things that he did. He looked at the conditions where African people are. And just like Bobby Wright, Dr. Bobby Wright, and you know I love Bobby Wright. He said, wherever they are and we are, the European is in dominance and in control. And we are in a subservient position. It defies all laws of probability. Everywhere. The European. And the European has done this because they, just keeping it real. They have an evil mindset collectively. I ain't talking about some Caucasian that you know or that you friends with or you married to is a member of your family. I ain't talking about him or her. To Caucasians, they don't count unless they're doing some clandestine stuff within a particular family or da da da. That's why a lot of us who see us attain a position and have resources, money, and yet we marry Caucasian. And therefore the money that could go into our families, into our communities, still are being maintained by the European, by Caucasians. So I ain't talking about that. But he said, wherever they are and we are, that is the position. Where are our factories? Where are our government? Where are our big men of affairs, as he said? I didn't see them, so I'm going to create them. I love the fact that he dressed the way he tried to dress to give an image to our people. I know the Negroes made fun of him. Du Bois and all the other Negroes. I know the Negroes infiltrated his organization to bring it down. I know that he was convicted on fraud, particularly with the Black Star Line. In fact, that's where Kwame Nkrumah put the Black Star in honor of Marcus Garvey in their flag, in the Ghanaian flag. I know that he was imprisoned, federal prison here in Atlanta, almost, what, over a year or so, until the brothers and sisters got him out and he was deported. And then went to England and died in 1940. Whatever. I don't know if he went to Brazil or not, but if he went to Brazil, he saw the same thing. I know he went to Nicaragua, Salvador, Costa Rica, you know, maybe Panama too. I think he went to Panama. You know, there's a lot of Africans in Panama, like a lot of Africans in Belize. I like to go to Belize. I've never been. I like to go. A good friend of mine is brother who helped start Motherland Media, Bishop Nate Stampley. Bishop Nate Stampley and his lovely wife are in Belize. They live in Belize. But probably one of the biggest countries in areas where African people are is in Brazil. And when I went to Brazil for Mardi Gras, I saw firsthand. I didn't go up into the favelas, let me be real. I didn't do that. I knew I seen them, went by them. I didn't go up in there. No. I remember reading before I went to Carnival. In fact, I called my partner who I went with, who's my good friend who passed about 13 years ago, 2006. And I told him about the situation that was happening and that I was reading about in the paper, that the Brazilian government is cracking down big time on any activities that would cause a problem for a carnival. And they have constantly done that. In fact, the Brazilian government kills, the government kills 4,000-6,000 people a year. Africans, young people a year. They have it's a messed up situation. In fact, on Copacabana Boulevard or Avenue, whatever, Copacabana, where I stayed, just looking around, just walking up and down the street, going into shops, you didn't see dark-skinned Africans. I didn't hardly see dark-skinned Africans bussing tables. When jobs are really, really scarce because of Brazil's openly, in fact, if you want to know the history, they consistently brought in Europeans, immigrated them into Brazil to lighten up Brazil because they had imported so many Africans. Bringing all those Caucasians, in fact, there's an article, I might read that one too, dealing with sperm banks. Brazilian women are contacting American sperm banks for sperm to be inseminated in them, where the objective is to get blonde, blue-eyed. So you know that DNA. They want one of the dark hair. They might get something, you know, that is a Hiola brother, real Hiola brother. Real Hiola brother means that they damn near white. They bright, light, and damn near white. And they don't want to take the chance. I want the sperm that with the blue eyes and the blonde hair, or the blue hair and the blonde eyes, whatever. Brazil elected, and they elected this man, the people who had money to protect them
as you can see, many times in elections, those who have money can skew or direct that election to go the way they want to. It's not about the numbers. Look at here. It wasn't about the numbers. It wasn't one person, one vote, and the person who gets the most vote in the national election is the winner. No. They developed this so-called electoral college back at a time where we were enslaved, giving the Caucasian votes because of the number of people who he had in captivity. That's how that happened. So states that did not have a large population of voting people, they could compete in the election process. I think, well, I don't give a damn about this election. I don't give a damn about voting. Only vote I want to see is a plebiscite, which is a vote about getting out of here and the reparations that they're going to pay us. Brazil's new president, Bolsonaro, gets blessings from Trump, Netanyahu for policy of racial genocide. This is an article that appeared in March. Newly elected Brazilian Bolsonaro has wasted no time in cultivating positive relationships with U.S. President. I don't even like to say that way. With developing positive relationships with Donald Trump and Israel's Benjamin Netanyahu. Follow right-wing nationalist leaders who have made popular appeals to racism in their prospective countries. The rise of Bolsonaro, who has promoted the purging of leftists and ethnic cleansing of indigenous people, and said some African people, Brazilian African people, are not even good for procreation, is viewed as an insult on most vulnerable in Brazil, including the poor, the Africans, the indigenous, and the LGBTQ community. Brazilian Bolsonaro, March 19th visit to the U.S., went to the White House, only underscores the relationship cultivated between the two men, and their common cause as Caucasian nationalist leaders and a climate change deniers. That's right. He denies climate change. In fact, he has ordered already clearing the way of the Amazon for minerals, thereby exacerbating the climate change that we're going to be experiencing, or that we are experiencing, that is going to be worse. The climate change deniers who elected based on right-wing populism, a pro-business agenda, and appeals to racism. The two men have praised each other, and Bolsonaro is known as South America's Trump and the Trump of the tropics. Trump is an example to me, Bolsonaro said. Last year, while on a campaign visit to the U.S., I know there is a distance between me and Trump, but I hope to become closer to him for the good of Brazil and, of course, the good of the United States. I want to bring lessons from here to Brazil. Upon entering office to lead the second largest economy in the hemisphere, with the largest Brazilian African population outside of Africa. That's right. The largest African population outside of the continent. Now, my good brother, Baba Renoco, says that's not true. That India has that. And I'm not going to dispute that, because a lot of Africans, dark-skinned Africans, are in India. Bolsonaro said he would make Brazil a Christian theocracy, declaring God above everything. There is no such thing as a secular state. The state is Christian. See, that's why, brothers and sisters, you know, Christianity, But Brother Oshi, Christianity started in Ethiopia. I don't give a damn. Who is in control? What is the imagery? How do they impose it? And not only that, are you practicing the Christianity that started in Ethiopia? Hell no. You practicing the Christianity that has been imposed upon us by Europeans. The books that you read, that you say are sacred, are been imposed upon us by Europeans. And Lord knows all the versions they are. What is the truth? You don't know. None of us know. And God didn't come down and tell us, so we don't know. He would make Brazil a Christian theocracy, declaring God above everything. Yeah, their God. There's no such thing as a secular state. The state is Christian, and the minority will have to change if they can. The minorities will have to adapt to the position of the majority. In his first day in office, Bolsonaro signed an executive order wiping out land rights for indigenous people and the Quilombos, the descendants of self-liberated Brazilian African people, and handing control of the demarcation of indigenous land from Brazil's indigenous agency over to the agricultural minister, viewed as a victory for agro-business. I told you why he was elected. From the ruling class and the fear and the, because I think a couple of Caucasian Brazilians, European Brazilians, they're Portuguese mostly, European, were murdered and robbed. And so they, you know, they don't care about the inequality. They don't care about all of that. They just care about them and them and theirs. To hell with you and yours. So he came with that rhetoric that's what, and of course, if you're doing something like that, it ain't rhetoric, is it? It's what you're doing. Although the 1988 Constitution guarantees ancestral land rights to indigenous and Brazilian African people, those who occupy the Quilombos, which are located in the rural areas and in the rainforest, are subjugated to land grabs and deadly violence from mining and agro-business. Less than 1 million people live in those places isolated from the real Brazil, said a tweet in his native Portuguese from Bolsonaro, who has opposed land concessions for Brazilian Africans and indigenous people. They are exploited and manipulated by nonprofits. Together, we will integrate these citizens and give value to all Brazilians. A coalition of civil social groups warned the executive orders, and only the first step on meeting Bolsonaro's campaign promises of dismantling environmental governance, stripping indigenous people of their rights, and opening up indigenous lands for agro-business, paving the way for logging in the Brazilian Amazon rainforest. Bolsonaro has raised concerns. He is readying for genocide of indigenous people. As he once said, there is no indigenous territory where there aren't minerals. Gold, tin, and magnesium are in these lands, especially in the Amazon, the richest area in the world. I'm not getting into this nonsense of defending land for indigenous people, said Bolsonaro, who also thinks Indians smell, are uneducated, and don't speak our language, and therefore they deserve to be eliminated. The recognition of indigenous land is an obstacle to agro-business. Trump congratulated Bolsonaro on his victory on Twitter, saying, the U.S. is with you. The Brazilian leader replied by saying, under God's protection, we shall bring prosperity and progress to our people. Netanyahu attended Bolsonaro's inauguration as the new Brazilian leader announced his plans to move his country's embassy in Israel to Jerusalem. And Israel will sell drones with facial recognition capabilities to Brazil, echoing the ethno-nationalism rhetoric of his American and Brazilian counterparts. Netanyahu has said recently that Israel is the national state, not all of its citizens, but only of the Jewish people, and called African immigrants and refugees in Israel infiltrators who are there to threaten the nation. A senior Israeli official reportedly said that Brazil will be colored blue and white with Bolsonaro in charge, referring to the colors of Israel's flag. And Bolsonaro's sons signaled their support for Israel by wearing T-shirts with logos of Israel Army and Mossad, the Israeli intelligence agency, which are used to maintain the nation's occupation of Palestinian lands and the monitoring of Palestinian activists. Brazilian police say links between Bolsonaro and two ex-police officers who are suspects in the murder of the Brazilian African human rights activist and politician Michel Franco were merely coincidental. Yeah, right. The rise of Bolsonaro threatens to undermine the progress people of African descent have made in Brazil in recent years, including an affirmative action program, leading to a 268% increase in Brazilian African college matriculation and efforts to fight racism and Brazilian African youth genocide. I face so many barriers just because I'm a Brazilian African woman. My rights are attacked nearly every day. I'm a student at the University of Salvador. I'm here to make up diversity quotas so people don't think I deserve my place at the university when it is my right to be here, said Jamila, a human rights activist of being a Brazilian African woman in Brazil under Bolsonaro. Jamila told Amnesty International that she still has hope and aspirations and a will to defend human rights. Given the current climate, I'm fearful nothing will change, but my hope is that together we create a world that is more welcoming to diversity and less unequal. It's up to us to create the world together, she added. Meanwhile, the words and actions of Brazil's new president point to a desire to return to past racism and repression. The dictatorship mistake was to torture and not kill. The dictatorship's mistake was to torture, but not kill, Bolsonaro said in a 2016 of the military regime that controlled Brazil from 1964 until 1985. Whatever he does, it appears that he will have the support of Trump and Netanyahu. That's why I'm saying that when you look at this world, and yet we still think, because the people who have the positions that Bolsonaro, Netanyahu, and Trump, and Caucasians, Europeans, whether they live in Russia or wherever the hell they live in Europe or anywhere else in Australia, whatever, it is the same. It is to maintain and sustain the privilege that they created for themselves at the exclusion of everybody else. And yet, we consistently think that we can pray, plead, beg to be like them. It hasn't happened. It ain't happening. And it ain't gonna happen. Racism in interracial relationships, taught to overvalue whiteness Brazilian Africans increasingly analyze their unions with Caucasians. There's a number of articles here on the website. You can go there to the site dedicated to Brazilian women of African descent, Black women of Brazil. And outstanding website. I'll be going to it from time to time, because with the amount of Africans that are in Brazil, which is the second largest amount of Africans outside the continent, second only to Nigeria, it is interesting to see what they have to say. And this is a note from Black women of Brazil. You know the story. Well, if you've been paying attention for any amount of time, let me see, we have a caller. Yes, we do. Caller 602, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, good brother Oshi.
Ah, how are you doing, my friend? How are you, Marcus? Did you enjoy Marcus Garvey Day? And how did the broadcast go?
Oh, it was beautiful, man. From
great.
6 o'clock straight till 12 o'clock, 12 midnight.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
So it was beautiful, man.
Great.
You know, these white folks don't realize, you know. They're not watching nature. They're not watching nature. This planet is heating up more and more every day. And as it heats up, the ultraviolet rays from the sun, the ozone layer is being depleted. Who you think going to suffer? Who you think going to get melanoma if they go in the sun? It's the one with no melanin in his skin. So they're running to get white. People running to get white. Hey. They better realize that you better try to get some melanin in your
that's skin, right,
to protect you
that's
from
right
the ultraviolet rays when they deplete the ozone layer, which is over Europe.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, look, the name of the game is he who live the longest win.
That's okay? Right.
And they are dying
that's
rapidly.
Right. That's right. That's why.
See?
That's why they're doing what they're doing. They already said
exactly
that their population is decreasing globally. It's not just here in America. Their population is decreasing globally. The Caucasians in Europe were accepting immigration, particularly from lighter skinned people, particularly from Syria, because their population is older. They needed people to work to support the Caucasian population that was entrenched in those countries, you see.
Yes, even in Maine, here in America, I was reading an article. In Maine, their population is so old, they don't have enough people to take care of the old folks.
Right.
In Maine here. So this cracker here, European.
You know. I know, Marcus. I feel sometimes, man, it is the emotion of the situation and the reality of it. Because to be congealed, to talk, to call them this, that, and the other, sometimes you got to call them for what the hell they are.
I'm telling you. Well, he's heaping up a whole lot of coal on his head.
Yeah.
And don't realize it is him. That is good. So, you know, he's trying to destroy as much people and take as much people with him on his journey to death. But we gonna win this struggle. I know it.
That's,
you know,
right.
Say, look, we went through slavery. A lot of people didn't expect us to survive.
That's
slavery.
Right. That's right.
So our people were smart. They said, you know, let us take low now so that later on, you know. So we are still here.
That's right. We are still here,
ain't
brother. We were the first ones here. We were the
exactly.
first ones here. In fact, we were the first ones in almost every area of the planet. The first people of every area of the planet that now where you see people who look a certain way who you call Asian, and people who look a certain way who you call Japanese, Chinese, Korean, whatever. The people you see a certain way who call themselves Filipino and so forth, they looked African. They're even in this country here, even in America, the first people, the indigenous people, looked African. Now, I know the indigenous people, the Native American people of today, the ones who are on those plantations, the ones who are dying. I know what they look like. And I know some of them did not want to associate with looking like Africans. I know this because the European has poisoned the world to look at African people in a negative light. It's one thing that you sure as hell don't want to be. And many of our people have gone through some great changes to try not to look like what they should look like. They've gone through some things that are just traumatic.
And we are such beautiful people. Our physique is such, the black man physique is the most, has the most rugged physique. The black woman is the most beautiful woman on the planet. Your skin texture,
yes,
is the most durable.
Yes.
When you look at a black woman, even when she's 70, 80, her skin is still tight.
Yes.
You look at a European woman, by the time she's 30, 40, she got a turkey neck. She got a skin start wrinkling.
They look, they be
wife.
Yeah, they be looking bad, man.
I see Netanyahu's wife. She was born up on some charges. And she looked like a ghoul. I said, man, this she look like a polar bear. You know what I'm saying? I said, what the hell is that? So, look, we going to win. We are the, we, look.
That's
we
right, dear brother.
Right.
That's right. Bibi Fahodia. Hey, Marcus.
Yes, I.
Bibi Fahodia,
yes,
our victorious,
yes,
destiny.
Good,
Bibi Fahodia.
Yes.
You know
you
it.
Take care, good brother.
All right. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate you. Have a blessed day. That's right. Bibi Fahodia, our victorious destiny. Believe it. Continue to work towards it. I know it doesn't look good, brothers and sisters, here in this country, on the continent, and everywhere else. I know it. I have no illusions. But I have faith. No, I don't have faith in Jesus. I have faith in God. Faith in our ancestors. Faith in African people to rise up out of this mindset that have made them believe that they're inferior. I have faith. This is a note from Black Women of Brazil. You know the story. Well, if you've been paying attention for any amount of time, you do. Google the term racial democracy, with or without the word Brazil, and you're bound to see countless that debunk the idea that Brazil is or ever was a real racial democracy in which all persons are treated equally regardless of skin color, hair texture, or phenotype. I've been writing about this for nearly 8 years, and based upon my own research as well as my experiences with the country over a period of 19 years, I can say with authority, Brazil practiced one of the most effective forms of racism in the world. I say this because not only does the country's power structure maintain a system that keeps persons... Oh, I got another call. I'm going to take this call. 267, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Brother Oshie.
Hey, what's
How
happening,
doing,
Brother Ralph?
Man?
I'm doing fine this day. How are you?
I can't complain, Brother Oshie. And I was listening to the conversation. Think about it. You brought up all the puppets of this so-called white supremacy. You brought up Trump. You brought up the guy in Great Britain. You brought up the guy in Brazil. But they're all getting their marching orders from. And you brought up Netanyahu because
right.
he's a puppet also.
Right.
You're just not linking all of them. Who are they getting their marching orders from? That's where we got to go. That's the people. Those are the people we got to see, because these are just like you said in Brazil. You know, the people with the money are the ones that
right.
put this guy in power.
Right.
Well, you realize under George Bush that he gave corporations the right to vote. So once he did that, there you go.
Yeah.
So who are these people pulling the string of these puppets, these distractions, these people that just breathe hot air and let their minions carry out their nonsense? You know what I mean? That's what I think. Once we uncover that, we're on to something.
Yeah,
because these people get this, a worldwide world order is in existence.
Yes.
And there you go, man.
Yeah.
There you go. So we got to look beyond these distractions, because they're just puppets that have been placed in power to distract you from seeing who is the puppet master.
That's right. What? They don't want you dealing. See, you can, hey, Brown, you can deal with all the peripheral stuff, but it's the puppet master who you definitely need to deal with is the main person, is the main thing. That's the deal.
But see, the puppet master got a high because he knows once the Anglo find out, and some of them know, but once the Anglo know, the Anglo believes in Patrick Henry. Give me liberty or give me death. They're going to fight. I don't know what happened. Yeah, Christianity done the job on us.
Yeah.
We're just going to pray. We're just going to pray that this thing leave us alone.
Divine intervention. We've been praying for a divine intervention, man, that somehow, some way, the heavens are going to open up and then destroy all the evildoers, and us, those of us who believe in Jesus and pray to God and been good Christians, will inherit. Yeah, right.
Yeah, and, and I speak from my own experience, Brother Oshie. I remember I went into a church at age 19. I went in there and I believed in it, and I wanted them to, I'm listening to what they said, and they said we was in the last days and Jesus is going to come and set up his kingdom. Man, that was 40 years ago. Now, we were in the last days when I was 19, and now that was 40 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So common sense tells me something else has to be done.
That's right.
But, I just had to call in, brother.
I appreciate it, man.
Because you wanted something. You talked about the guy in Brazil, and you talked about the guy in Britain. You talked about this moron we got here. And, no way anybody with common sense would vote for him. And you talked about, all the Netanyahu. All these guys are puppets. Mm-hmm. We got to find out who they're getting their marching orders from. And the reason why they're keeping it hidden, because they know that so-called white man, once he find out, that he's been played, he's going to take up his arms against that tyrannical government, which the Second Amendment really talks about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's where I'm at with all this. I look at it. I went to a concert with my wife. She's younger than me. You know what I mean? Man, I'm looking at the condition of our people. And I looked at some of those so-called rap stars.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I said, is there any fucking hope for us? Excuse my language.
I know. She saw me.
She said, you're not having a good time. And I thought about what me and you talked about the other day about Carter G. Woodson.
Mm-hmm.
Like he didn't smile.
That's right.
And he
understood it wasn't nothing to smile about. It's just depressing at times. Yep. You're right.
I looked at these 50 and 60 year old fools just parading around there with their caps backwards. I just said, man, is there any hope for us? So, I Brother Oshie, I want that one brother, if he's listening, it's not demonizing our folks, brother. I'm just talking about my mental condition and where I'm at with it. Because when I saw that foolishness, I said, these are people, grandparents. And they out there with Adidas with no shoestrings in them and everything,
I know, because that sagging thing has been around for a while. That sagging thing has been around since the 80s, man.
Yeah.
That's why, what's this damn near, the 80s are damn near going on almost 50 years, 40 years for sure. 40 years for sure. And so somebody who was sagging when they were 17, now they 50-something, and they still sagging.
60. Yeah. 60.
And they still
with blind
sagging.
Weaves in their heads and tattoos. I'm come on.
But see,
what the hell is going on? My wife said, you're not having a good time. Man. I mean, KRS-One was cool,
Oh, he's always good. He's always bringing it.
Yeah, but come on.
Yeah.
You know, this ain't our culture. Hip hop ain't our culture.
No. Let me say this, and brother, thank you, because I love brothers and sisters. I love us, but the hip hop culture is not us. It is a co-opted situation. They co-opted hip hop years ago. When hip hop first came out and was conscious, no, they couldn't have that conscious rap. That shit turned gangster. Yeah. Evil turned against our women, turned against one another. No, hip hop, you know, no, it's not. I'm talking about African culture. I'm talking about, you know, that's the bottom line.
Yeah, this is sad, brother. Yeah. But no, I just had to call in, man, because we're putting this thing, we're piecing this thing together.
That's right.
We got to find out who the puppet master is. Once we find that out, we're on our way. But they just got to keep those things hidden. And I got some friends in Brazil, man, and let me tell you, that same sickness here with the wigs garbage.
Man, it's deeply there.
It's prevalent down there. Yes. I feel sorry for a couple of them young sisters. You know, it's prevalent down there.
It's
man.
All I mean, over. It's on the continent. It's everywhere. The European has infected the African mind to such degree is unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. No, we've been poisoned, bro. And I'm including myself. Right? Yeah. It's a whole bunch of muck and mire I got to climb out of.
And me too. You know we all mean? Do.
Yeah,
we all got to assess because
I got to climb out of this thing.
Ralph, there is a 24/7, 365 attack on your African mind. So it's all of us. We all need to take an assessment of how much damage has been done to us personally. Believe me, it is a struggle that I deal with on a daily basis, especially here in Atlanta. Here in Atlanta is such a dichotomy. Here
stay away from me, Fry Daddy.
Yep. hold on, Jay.
Hey, look.
Jay.
And you know, Atlanta, when I was down there, man, I never seen so many men in high heels and purses and carrying purses.
Listen.
I said, what kind of Mecca is this?
No, it's right. The Mecca is not the Mecca for a homosexual. American African homosexual. It is the American African homosexual capital.
Yeah, brother. Man, I was depressed down there.
Look,
I know Brother Jay's on hold.
Okay.
I'm going to hear him.
Okay.
And I'm just going to go on mute, brother. And
all right. Thank you.
To the rest
always,
of
Ralph. Thank you, my brother. Peace. Appreciate it.
All right, brother. Peace.
Jay, what you got to say?
Hey, Ralph, what's happening, brother? You know, Leonard is what I call Monkey Man Central, man. The home of the Twisted Sister, Broken Wrist, whatever you want to call them. It's just nothing but degenerates, evil, sick, twisted men, who some of them have become
And women. I tell you, lesbianism. In fact, event you may go to. Huh?
That's a given now with a lot of these women. Yeah. A lot of these women, if the truth be told, are going both ways. A lot of them. You know, they don't want to admit to it, but a lot of them have girlfriends on the side, a man and a girlfriend. You know what I mean? It's just part of the sick, twisted culture that we involve with. But you were talking earlier about Brazil. Brazil is a place that is just like America in a sense. Great places of poverty and great places of riches that has somewhat of a culture. I'd say in a lot of ways, Brazil has more African culture than America does.
Especially in Salvador Bahia. Especially in Salvador Bahia, you're right.
They understand the Africans.
Yes. Yes.
They try to practice the African spirituality
because,
and all of those things.
No, there's no doubt.
Thing is they identify with being African.
Right.
You can't get the majority of the Negro here to identify
because the brothers and sisters went into the hinterland, they went up into those hills, they went up and they established the Columbos where they practiced tradition African culture. They understood who they were. That did not happen here on the United States soil. It did not happen here. There was no place that we could escape here. Yes, we went north and hooked up with the Quakers or any other abolitionists that would give us shelter on the Underground Railroad, you know, but there was no African culture here, but it was there. And as a consequence, that's why there's still some strong African presence in South America. In South America, has witnessed by.
They're always trying to move forward in all honesty as Africans. And that's the thing in this thing. But, you know, the thing is, like you were also saying earlier, is this European is dying off. And like Marcus says, because of his lack of melanin. And it's just him being the total savage beast. He, you know, anytime you live in a society to whereas you don't respect the scientists and those that are telling you that your resources and that your way of life is causing your demise, and you just cast them aside, it just goes to show how sick you really are. Because climate change is real. Now, I don't understand how you're not intelligent enough to realize it. Just based alone, what's going on in the Adriatic region. Just alone, based on what's going on with the salmon in out west.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They were talking about the temperatures of the water in Alaska was killing the salmon because it was too warm. Something fundamentally is wrong.
Yes.
And if you don't understand that,
yes. Every day. Now, understand something, Jay, and I know you know this, and I know if Ralph is listening, I hope that he is, and Marcus and all the other brothers and sisters that listen, that, you know, you take the national news, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, MSNBC, see, whatever the hell, CNN, you take that. You look at it objectively. You don't believe every damn thing that they say or do. But when they consistently say that what has happened over a period of time is destroying the planet, when they consistently go and show you ice caps melting and that the fact that in the next few years, not 20, 30 years, in the next 10 years, that the coast of the United States and many other places will be underwater because of the ice caps that are melting, the permafrost. And then in the permafrost issue is another deep issue, because the permafrost issue, once that melts, it's going to release gases. It's going to release organisms. They might release a damn organism that there is nothing that these that science can do to fight it. You don't know.
Right.
You know, so.
No, I agree with you.
So, you know, when I read that article when I was on the fire department at the fire station 30-something years ago about, you know, because they called it global warming at that time. They didn't call it climate change. They had to change that. Scientists had to change that to climate change because they didn't like the idea of global warming. But global warming is real. They just showed a graphic the other day, and I read it in the paper and seen it on the Facebook, that the graphic is this past July, last month, was the hottest July ever recorded since they've been recording weather in the 1800s, the hottest July ever recorded. And subsequent months of June, May, April, March, whatever, also were very high months in terms of temperature globally. They messed up the planet. The greed of these folks messed up the planet. When I read that article 30-some years ago, they said that if you do this, we can reverse this. When Jimmy Carter put those solar panels up on the White House, soon as Ronald Reagan was elected, that's the first thing he did, was remove those solar panels and open up oil exploration to the people that helped put him in. And a big thing on oil. In fact, the oil industry bought out solar. You understand what I'm saying? They control it. The oil industry bought them out. And there was new explorations for parts of the world for more damn oil. We don't know damn oil when you have the sun. See, that's the thing, Jay. That's the thing. Well, damn, The sun, if I allow the sun, hell, I can't get nothing from that because the sun will be around for maybe hundreds of millions of years longer. But oil, it is not finite. There, I mean, even though they still find oil in certain places, and even some places, the oil, the crude oil is more better than other places, like Libya. Libya at one time had one of the best of Venezuela. Venezuela had some of the best crude oil. That's why they want to still get down into Venezuela and get rid of Maduro, just like they wanted to do with my guy.
Well, you don't hear them talking too much about Venezuela lately, so I guess the brothers and sisters are holding on.
They're holding on. That's all they're doing because last I heard, the economic sanctions are hurting so bad. I would hope.
Well, you know that was going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. So I hope there are some countries or some in instances where they're getting some kind of relief to help the brothers and sisters in Venezuela. You know.
Well, I know you're about to end the show, Oshi.
Oh, yeah. As always, yeah, sure
please
is.
Keep up the good. Keep up the good work.
Okay.
And it's
yeah, I got it. I gotta go. I gotta make way for Brother Frank, man. Let me go, man.
All right, Hotep, brother.
Hotep, peace to you. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Shem Hotep, go in peace. Asante Sana, thank you. Be before you, our victorious destiny. Peace, family.